You know, forgiveness is something we all want to receive, but most of us hesitate to give.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear from Pastor Brian Grant as he brings before us the last in his series of messages on lessons to be learned from the life of Joseph, that Bible figure whose story fills more of the book of Genesis than any other. Tonight's message finds Joseph at the pinnacle of God's plan for his life, the second man in all of Egypt, and face to face with his brothers who so treacherously sold him into slavery many years before. The lesson we will hear in tonight's message is in how Joseph responded to these men, to whom, humanly speaking, he owed absolutely nothing. Turn with us now to Genesis chapter 50 and listen as Pastor Grant brings this personally challenging message entitled, The Power of Forgiveness. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Three sons left home and went out and made it big, and the sons got back together. You know, these boys were somewhat competitive, and each one wanted to tell the other how great a job they had done for mom. And the first son, you know, he told them, he said, you know, I just want you to know, I built mom a huge five-bedroom house. The second brother said, well, I sent mom a brand new $130,000 Mercedes and a chauffeur. The third son said, well, I have you all beat. He said, I found out, you know, mom loves the Bible, but she's having trouble because her sight is bad. She's not able to see well anymore. And I found out that there was this monastery. Five monks spent, all these years training this parrot. And now this parrot, he's able to recite the entire Bible. All mom has to do is say a chapter and verse. The parrot can recite any verse that mom mentions. Well, mom soon responded to the boys about how she felt about the gifts, and she wrote back to the first son, and she said, Jimmy, she said, you know, the house is so huge. She said, I only live in one room, and yet I have to clean this whole house. She wrote the second son, she said, Johnny, mommy, I'm so old, I don't go nowhere. I mean, the Mercedes, it sits in the garage all day. And she said, but the chauffeur, he's so rude. And then she wrote, she said, Sammy, the third son. Sammy, you are the only son who really understands mom and what mom likes. She said, thank you so much for that lovely bird. She said, the chicken was delicious. The first two sons were furious at how ungrateful mom was. But I tell you, Sammy could hardly control himself. His $1 million, because that's what he had to pledge, $100,000 for 10 years. His $1 million bird had become a chicken dinner. Well, you know, it's easy. It's so easy for conflicts to arise in families, isn't it? It's so easy for conflicts to arise among friends. But I tell you this morning, as we continue and finalize our series on the life of Joseph, I want to share with you a message this morning entitled, The Power of Forgiveness. This is the last of our five-part series on the life of Joseph. You know, forgiveness is something we all want to receive, but most of us hesitate to give. Oh, let me say that again. Forgiveness is something we all want to receive, but most of us hesitate to give. But if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we must always be ready to forgive. And I want to ask you this morning, even before we get started, how quick are you to forgive? Are you the type of Christian that's always ready to forgive? I want to share with you, before we talk about what forgiveness is, I want to share with you three misconceptions about forgiveness. First misconception, there is a misconception that forgiveness is not relieving, listen, write this down, forgiveness is not relieving the person of responsibility. It is not relieving the person of responsibility. If we look at Genesis chapter 42, as we study the life of Joseph, I'm reading from verse 18 in Genesis 42. Then Joseph said to them the third day, that's just to his brothers, do this and live, for I fear God. His brothers had come for food. He says, if you're honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified and you shall not die. And they did so. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear him. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. Forgiveness is not relieving the person of his responsibility. My friend, just because somebody has chosen to forgive you does not mean you're off the hook. You know, a lady might forgive her husband because the marriage was broken, because he had an affair, but just because you had an affair and in her love and grace she has chosen to forgive you, it doesn't mean she should not force you to pay child support. Oh, I hope somebody needs to hear me this morning, because they're ladies. I run into a lot of ladies who, because they're now Christians and they have forgiven that man, he might not even be her husband, but because she has forgiven him, she doesn't want to force him to pay child support. But we need to recognize that forgiveness does not relieve a person from their responsibility. Somebody ought to say amen. 35 years ago, the founder of this church, Dr. B. Sam Hart, his son and his daughter-in-law were brutally murdered. Some of you were here back then, and they were both brutally murdered. And Dr. Hart actually went to jail to meet the murderers, and he told them he forgave them and that God was willing to forgive them if they invited the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart. But despite the fact that he forgave them, he fully cooperated with the government to make sure that they paid for their crime. Forgiveness does not mean that I relieve you of your responsibility, and we need to get that in our hearts. That's a misconception. Forgiveness has nothing to do with a person's responsibility. But here's a second misconception. Listen, forgiveness is not a reinstatement of trust in the person. Forgiveness is not retrusting. For after a betrayal, trust must be re-earned. Amen? And to re-earn trust, it takes time. I met a man who had abused his wife, and his wife had forgiven him. And now he was angry because she didn't trust him. He didn't realize that the fact that she had forgiven him doesn't mean she trusted him. Forgiveness is not retrusting. It takes time to rebuild trust. You know, I run into people, sometimes folks come for counseling, and somebody, I can hear the husband, because many times it's the husband who's guilty. Now, husbands, don't be afraid to come for counseling, because I'm not automatically assuming you're guilty. We have to hear the story. Usually, when a marriage is in trouble, both people have a problem. But, you know, we men have a way to try and use the Bible to manipulate somebody. We messed up. Now we're going to use the Bible to try to manipulate you and to make you feel guilty for not trusting us again. And anybody, listen, male or female, if you're here and you try that trick, it's not going to work. It's going to backfire, because usually when you try and manipulate somebody with the scripture, they end up feeling that you were not serious when you confessed, that your confession was a fake. Because if your confession, if you're really truly sorry about what you did, you would give the person the time to rebuild trust. You would not try to manipulate them into trusting you. Trust cannot be manipulated. Oh, somebody needs to hear me this morning. Third, forgiveness is not forgetting. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Here's what Joseph said to his brothers. But as for you, you meant evil against me. Oh, he didn't forget. He said, you think he was going to forget how they beat him up and threw him in the pit and then sold him as a slave? He had not forgotten. You meant evil, but God meant it to me for good. Forgiveness is not forgetting. No, God has the ability. Thank God, the Bible says that God, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen? Some people say, you know, I don't like to necessarily say that God has forgotten, because forgetting is a human frailty. But by an act of divine sovereign will, God has chosen to remove my sin from his memory bank. But I don't have that authority. I don't have the ability to just forget. And I want to tell you, listen good, the more painful the experience is, the more difficult it is to forget. So my brother and sister, don't say to your friend or your family member, you told me you forgive me, you ought to forget.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Because forgiving is not forgetting. But I have more to say about that in a minute. So now that we've talked a little bit about what forgiveness is not, let's talk a little bit. What is forgiveness? Understanding what forgiveness is. Number one, forgiveness is the act of pardoning an offender. Forgiveness is the act of pardoning an offender. And here we are in Genesis chapter 15, and you can see what Joseph says in verse 21. Now therefore, do not be afraid, because his brothers have come to him and they've said what daddy said you should do. And Joseph says to them, don't be afraid, I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Write this down. Forgiveness is the act of pardoning an offender. In the Bible, the Greek word translated forgiveness literally means to let go. Oh, that's big. In the Bible, the word translated forgiveness literally means to let go. That's what Joseph did. He let go of his anger. He let go of his resentment. He let go of his desire for revenge. And instead of desiring revenge, Joseph says, listen, I'm going to take care of you. Has somebody hurt you deeply? It could be a friend, it could be a family member. Has somebody hurt you deeply? And are you sucking on that hurt? Are you holding on to something that somebody has done to you? Don't say that you have forgiven them until you have let go. Yes, it is true that forgiveness is not forgetting, but forgiveness is letting go. And my brother and sister, as we'll see in a minute, it's going to do you an amazing amount of good when you get to the point where you're willing to let go of your anger, willing to let go of your resentment, and where you're willing to forgive. Don't even try to get revenge. Forgiveness is the act of pardoning. Forgiveness is what? To let go. Oh, say that to me. Forgiveness is to let go. But second, forgiveness is not only the act of pardoning, which is to let go. Forgiveness is forfeiting my right to keep repeating the matter. It's It's forfeiting my right to keep repeating the matter. Proverbs 17:9, we'll put it on the screen for you. Proverbs 17:9 says this. It says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it, what? Separates close friends. If you keep harboring on it, if you keep repeating it, if you keep bringing it up, my friend, that is not forgiveness. Forgiveness means that I forfeit my right to keep bringing up the matter. A man complained to his friend. He said, I just can't take it anymore. He says, every time my wife and I have an argument, she gets hysterical. His friend said, no, you don't mean hysterical. You mean she gets hysterical. He said, no, I'm not talking about hysterical. She gets hysterical because every time we argue, she brings up everything what happened in the past. Are you one of them folks who likes to get historical? Oh, I wish I had time to do a survey this morning, but I won't do the survey because I might get in trouble. I wish I could do a survey to find out in marriages who usually gets historical. Is it the husband or is it the wife? I better leave that one alone, amen? I'll leave that one alone. But do you know in marriage, folks sometimes get historical? Oh, 35 years ago, you did it to me. I remember the day and I remember the time. Oh. But you see, when I forgive, I am not a historian. Hallelujah. I let it go. Oh, listen, there are three ways that I got to let it go, you know. So I don't go telling the person who did it. Oh, come on, husbands and wives, friends. And I want to tell you, a lot of marriages would be happier marriages if married couples weren't so historical. Oh, somebody ought to, I hope you're listening. Let it go. And don't keep bringing it back. Don't keep telling the offender that they did it. And don't try to act all spiritual. You tell all the, don't tell it to other people. Oh, I'm getting a lot of help today. I'm getting a lot of help this morning. But you see, sometimes we want to tell other folks about it. And sometimes we even get spiritual. You say, I'm just telling you this so you can pray intelligently. Don't tell them. But you know, one of the biggest things, I need to stop telling myself. So I don't have the ability to forget. But I will never forget if I keep reminding myself. If ever so often I sit and have a nice pity party and I said, that devil, you know what they did to me. I don't keep repeating it to myself. And my brothers and my sisters, we try to be as practical as we possibly can. But if we're going to forgive, if you have to forfeit your right to keep bringing it up even to yourself. And after a while, the Spirit of God, if you let it go, after a while you will forget. And it won't become so easy to be hysterical. Listen, forgiveness is letting go. Forgiveness is not repeating the matter. But third, forgiveness does not wait on confession. Oh, I know I might be going even against what we have taught here at this church before. Oh, but I want to point this out to you, that forgiveness does not wait on confession. Look with me, Genesis 15, and verse number 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually pay us for all the evil which we did. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus shall you say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Please forgive them. Listen, Joseph's brothers did not confess they fabricated a lie. Did you see that? It was a total fabrication. They said, now that daddy is dead, you know, Joseph has been acting real nice to us. But now that daddy is dead, them boy, you know, Joseph will act up. After all, he's prime minister in Egypt, and we're like dogs. He can do anything he wants to us. Let's tell him what daddy said. Let's blame it on daddy. He's going to want to do what daddy wants. So let's make, oh, daddy said that way. Listen, if Jacob had something to tell Joseph, he'd have told him himself, because Jacob was quite alive and kicking for several years in Egypt with Joseph. He had all the time in the world. Listen, this was a fabricated lie. Listen, there was no confession, and yet Joseph decided to forgive his brothers. Confession is important. And that's why I believe many Bible teachers insist that forgiveness requires confession. But it's clear there was no confession here. And listen, but without confession, listen to me good. If there's no confession, it's going to be very difficult to restore a relationship. And we're going to come to that in a minute. Confession is not critically important to forgiveness, but is important to restoring a relationship. And so here's the point that is important. I can choose to forgive somebody who didn't even confess. It's good. You know why it's good? Because some of the people that you need to forgive have died. Do you know, some of you here, some of you sitting right here, are still angry at some people who have died. You don't have an opportunity for them to confess. But right now, listen, you need to forgive them. And you can. And we'll get to that in a moment. You can choose to forgive them. You can ask God's help that you can forgive that person. No matter how brutal and rough they were to you, you can choose to forgive that person. And I thank God I don't have to wait for the person to confess. And listen, there's some folks who are very much alive, and you can choose to forgive them. Listen, if we don't forgive, we're going to lose God's blessing. Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, we're going to put it on the screen for you. Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Aren't you glad they don't have to confess? Because if I had to wait on people to confess before I forgave, I would miss out, because God has already said he will not forgive me if I won't forgive the others. And so this morning God is speaking to all of us. Because I believe seated in this audience are several individuals who are harboring thoughts of unforgiveness against somebody. Perhaps a friend, perhaps a relative. There is something, perhaps somebody who hurt you very, very badly. And it's in some cases, it's deeply ingrained. It's deeply embedded. But this morning, God is calling on us to forgive.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, and remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.